Mr. Massaleo?
Excuse me. My name is Mike Massaleo, the Chicago and Cook County Billing Trades Council. We serve the 24 billing trades affiliates of our council who represent approximately 100,000 tradeswomen and tradesmen throughout the city of Chicago and Cook County. On behalf of President Ralph Affronti and myself, we would like to thank Chairman Perez, Vice Chair Newsom, and the distinguished members of the Community Development Commission for taking the time to hear our statements today. Since the start of the TIF program, the city is committed to provide over $1.25 billion for Chicago public school related projects, approximately 132 schools. $422 million to the Park District for parks and open space projects, which benefited over 100 parks. $933 million to the CTA for track and station renovations and related projects, 40 projects, and the transit TIF support for the Red Purple Line modernization. Under the current Emanuel administration, approximately 90% of the TIF funds have been committed to neighborhood projects. Approximately 80% of those were committed to schools, infrastructure, parks, transit, and affordable housing. Your support for this and other TIF proposals would not only create thousands of good-paying union construction jobs, which are temporary, but tens of thousands of permanent jobs in the future. Projects like this are considered capital bills which have long-term positive impacts on the region. Taking an old industrial site and transitioning it to a habitable area is no small task. We'd like to commend Alderman Hopkins, Sterling Bay, and all the partners on this effort, and look forward to working with their team and the contractors who will build this site. Again, we thank you for your time and respectfully ask for your support. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Neil Levin, and I am a principal at Brownie Weiss, a social good advisory group. I don't believe that in the history of the city of Chicago, any one development has been able to be all things to all people. This project and the desperately needed infrastructure that will come from it serves so many people in so many parts of our city. And the beauty of this developer is in its commitment to serve those people that it can't feasibly serve within the four corners of the project itself. For instance, $8 million has already been donated to various philanthropic causes by this developer for initiatives with a broad reach across the city, including work with City Colleges of Chicago, work with workforce development programs, a variety of who have appeared here, in fact, for you today, affordable housing projects beyond those that are required by statute, and their intention to move forward with additional recreation in the most at-risk neighborhoods of Chicago, including Lawndale and Inglewood, and support for a variety of crime prevention initiatives. The city needs this, and we have a developer who has already proven to be a great and very responsible corporate citizen with the projects that they've already undertaken and with this one that they intend to undertake, again, exceeding the requirements provided by statute in terms of affordable housing and workplace initiatives. Please vote in favor of this project. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Molly Meyer. I'm the CEO and founder of Omni Ecosystems, a certified WBE in the city of Chicago. On behalf of Omni Ecosystems, a woman-owned business, and myself, a city of Chicago taxpayer, I'd like to put forth our support for this development. Omni Ecosystems has worked with Sterling Bay for more than 5 years. Since 2013, Sterling Bay has engaged with Omni Ecosystems for landscape architecture, landscape construction, landscape maintenance, green roofs, and green wall services. They've been a great collaborator, supporter, and neighbor to us. They've even helped us with warehouse space as our company has grown. We have been working on their team for Lincoln Yards, as well as the local landscape architects. Over these many years, we've seen Sterling Bay committed to excellence in green space and open space. They've been long-term committed and meaningful collaborators to us as a WBE, and we support this endeavor. Thank you very much.
Hi there. My name is Jonathan Hoffman. Thank you for the chance. For the last 21 of 23 years, I've been a resident of Bucktown, a literal stone's throw from Lincoln Yards. When my kids were small, I took them to watch the forging process at Finkel. I was born and raised, however, on the Lower East Side of New York City to hippie activist parents, so I come by my progressive leanings legitimately. I just watched my hometown let a $7 billion net gain for the local economy slip away and go to some other city because a few people think Amazon is too successful to warrant tax breaks. One could chase one's tail with that principle for years, but in the meantime, Amazon took their ball and went home. Should they have done that? Could they have been more collaborative? Maybe, but I believe the naysayers missed the forest for the trees. They let the perfect be the enemy of the very good. Ask the small business owners in Long Island City how they feel. The situation is different here, obviously, but I wouldn't want a similar thing to happen to my beloved adopted city and neighborhood. Big does not have to equal bad, and we can help make sure that in this case it doesn't. At the same time, we can take advantage of an opportunity to work with one partner on a grand and diverse plan, transformation at scale that works for a lot of people. It's been done in other places, why not here? From what I've seen, Sterling Bay is not behaving like a giant, arrogant tech company, though I'm sure they have other projects they could consider which look more efficient on a spreadsheet. Their heart seems to be in the right place. They seem to be listening. They want to work with us and all other constituencies and stakeholders to find the best solution for the most people. They live in the community. Yes, they are smart business people, but I wouldn't hold that against them. Let's try to work with them. They've got a big vision. Let's bring our own big vision, grounded in realism. Let's hold them accountable to partnering with us in an active way. Together, we can bring that positive, collaborative vision for the neighborhood to life. Thanks a lot for listening.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Jeremy. I'm a member of Labor's Local 4 here in Chicago.
Sir, your full name?
Jeremy Strong.
Thank you.
J-E-R-E-M-Y, Strong, S-T-R-O-N-G. And I had a written statement prepared, but I felt like it was more appropriate to speak from the heart, seeing as though I see the passion on both sides. So I'll just give you my story. I grew up in the Austin neighborhood. My father was a laborer. He was probably a laborer more than many of you have been alive. He was able to send me and my sister to college. That's two kids off one salary. So that speaks volumes to the salary. While I was in college, I came back and I decided I wanted to do the same thing. So one thing about this whole project that stood out to me was the 10,000 jobs. Now, if one man can send two kids to college, what can 10,000 jobs do for the members of this community? Further than that, it may mean 10,000 families may not have to come home and explain why there's no Christmas on Christmas Eve. It could also mean 10,000 families don't have to bury their sons and their daughters because they picked up a hammer instead of a gun. So I urge you all to vote yes on this project. Thank you.
My name is Lalo Juarez. I am a 20-year member of the Laborers Union. I have worked in the neighborhoods surrounding the Lincoln Yards project for the past 10 years. Neighborhoods like Bucktown, Logan Square, and River North have grown immensely over this time. Unfortunately, many of these projects have been built by developers and contractors that have exploited workers, taken advantage of existing infrastructure, and have not contributed to the health of the contractor of these neighborhoods. The developer of Lincoln Yards project has much different reputations. Sterling Bay has built several significant projects in Chicago that have helped rebuild the surrounding neighborhoods. On past projects, on the Lincoln Yards project, Sterling Bay has agreed to pay the construction workers that build its buildings union wages, which afford workers the ability to live and eat there. As a longtime member of the Laborers Union, construction projects like Lincoln Yards have helped me raise my family. Union-built projects provide me and my family with health insurance and will allow me to retire with security. I want over construction workers that have what I have, which is why I work to help bring people into the Laborers Union in my job as an organizer. Part of my job is helping to bring new people into the Laborers Union. A project the size of Lincoln Yards will bring thousands of residents from the Chicago neighborhoods into the construction trades. These jobs are not temporary jobs. Each project like this one that gets approved helps turn a construction job into a career in construction. These are good, solid careers that pay well and move workers and their families into the middle class. A career in construction brings stability to families by providing health, dental, and vision insurance and provides a pension so workers and their families will have a retirement security. Please vote today to move the Lincoln Project forward. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Lenahan. Unlike a lot of the people who have spoken to you today, I don't have a contract. I don't have any hopes of getting a contract. I don't belong to a union that hopes to get jobs out of this project. I'm just a regular citizen. We've heard a lot of arguments about why this project is good for us. One thing we haven't heard, not even from Alderman Hopkins, is why this has to be decided right now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So I would say to the members of the commission, your choice today is not between a project and no project. Your choice today is between taking a little more time and making sure that this is done right, or convincing Chicagoans once again that the fix is in and you were in on it.
All right, the next individuals, if you can please step up, Mr. Frank Cabello, Ted Wysocki, Adam Cole, Sean Harris, Amy Lardner, Leslie Fox, and Jim Kennessy, or Kenny. Go ahead, Mr. Cabello.
Good afternoon, and thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Frank Cabello, and I am the owner of Cabo Construction. My line of work is underground utilities, and I also am a general contractor. The majority of our work comes from the public works programs in the Chicagoland area. Cabo Construction got its start on a bridge project working as a subcontractor back in the early 2000s. Since this time, we have worked on countless projects. We are a union contractor that employs laborers and operators. I would like to say that business has been great. However, that is not the case. The state of Illinois has not had a capital program since 2009. There is no steady funding source for infrastructure. There are times we have no work at all. Therefore, it is very difficult to grow your company without knowing more work is on the horizon. As others before me have mentioned, this project alone is going to account for 10,000 construction jobs and 24,000 permanent jobs over the next 10 years. Many of the construction jobs will be performed by workers who are currently not in the workforce today. With the steady flow of retired workers, this is going to allow for veterans, minorities, and women to enter the market and earn a living that pays a good wage and includes a pension at the end of their career. I can tell you that it's not easy. The pay is slow, the work is difficult, and you never know when the next job will come. This project brings hope to a company like mine. It demonstrates that the city understands that to stimulate growth in an economy, you need a solid infrastructure in place. This investment in infrastructure will pay back multiple times the investment and provide a great economic stimulus, not only for this neighborhood, but for the entire Chicagoland area. I hope today that the city makes the right decision to approve the Lincoln Yards project and others throughout Chicago. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Ted Robleski. I'm the Vice President and Planning Chairman of the Sheffield Neighborhood Association. The area in question here north of Cortland is within our boundaries. We've worked over the years with the businesses in this PMD, and we've been asked to approve this proposal, but we're not yet at that point because we think, as Alderman Smith expressed and others, there are still a lot of questions to be answered here. There are details that we need to analyze. There's a lot of questions about how this is going to affect the improvements in public transportation that we need, the staging of this whole development. You look at that Armitage Bridge, that's not going to be built for a long time, yet the buildings that are going to go in are going to start from that area south of C.H. Robinson. So there are going to be a lot of challenges to how this is done, and we ought to thrash out some of those details before we decide to put all the public tax money here into this project. So we may be able to come to an agreement to support this, but at this point, even though we've appreciated the input that we've been permitted to give our aldermen, Alderman Hopkins, and the discussions we've had at Sterling Bay, we're still not at the point where we can be confident that we know how this is going to affect our parks, our schools, and our transportation issues with this project. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Adam Cole. I'm the Assistant Regional Commissioner of AYSO Region 418 Chicago Lakefront. We're a Northside Chicago chapter of the National American Youth Soccer Organization, 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization providing soccer programs to roughly 2,500 Northside Chicago families. The passion we as a region enjoy and we appreciate and we give our time to is soccer for youths ages 4 to 19 years old, recreational players, travel players, and players with special needs. We're thankful to Sterling Bay for presenting a development plan that now includes 4 soccer fields. It took a lot of public input to get to this point, and we're appreciative of both the efforts on both sides to get here. We do understand that these fields will be delivered as public works improvements under the $800 million line item of the proposed $900 million TIF. That said, we do continue to have some concerns regarding the potential access or restrictions to these public areas and the availability of public parking and public transportation infrastructure supporting the public open space. I have reviewed playing fields, public playing fields throughout the city of Chicago, and can tell you that every single one of them is supported by adjacent surface parking, in most cases free. In Sterling Bay, we have only deck parking with no indication of the cost to park there. So we ask that in respect to the public financing of this, that as the TIF and the pending development agreement are move forward, if that does happen, that it requires that parking be provided in this development, that it's made available consistent with other nearby neighborhoods, either free or at reasonable short-term hourly rates, consistent with street meters. What we fear is that, you know, the public can't effectively use these programs if it becomes a Navy Pier type parking deck at high rates. And this is supposed to be public space. We also ask that there be some controls placed on the public field areas to ensure that not-for-profits like AYSO can continue to offer programs to Chicago citizens far below competing private enterprises. You know, the bottom line here is that it just seems that there remains a lot of details that are unanswered, and we hope that as a committee and subsequently as council that there can be put more effort on defining these before final approvals are given. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Fox, and I'm a candidate for alderman of the 43rd Ward. And while our ward isn't where the project's going to take place, every impact on our quality of life is going to be affected. I learned something today. I learned, well, first of all, that the people that pay for everybody's salaries here are on a clock, and those who are elected are not, and I don't think that's democratic. I also learned that part of the community meeting has 66 emails and 49 calls. 66 emails and 49 calls. That's community impact. I do that before I get out of bed every morning, and I hope most people do too. The 43rd Ward, when someone asked, how can we do this? The question is, well, how can a city not do this? The question is how does a city that is broke do this? A city that doesn't have enough money to put infrastructure into its schools, that a city that can't put a social worker into schools, a city that does not have enough money to supply police to every neighborhood or replenish the detective units, a city that is on the brink of bankruptcy is about to ram through one of the largest TIFs ever in the history of Chicago. So that is my question. And when I see $25 million going to lawyers and administration, that to me is pinstripe patronage on steroids. Okay? That's
ladies
just
and gentlemen,
not okay. So I think there are too many questions than answers. I am not against TIFs for blighted areas, and I am not against developments. And clearly, there are a lot of people in this building that are going to make a lot of money off this deal, a lot of money off this deal. But the residents that pay for it, we have too many questions. So I urge you as a body, and I think that's folly because I think this decision has been made, but I urge you to please slow down. Thank you.
My name is Amy Lardner. I'm a resident, newly moved back to the 2nd Ward and a long-term resident previously of the 43rd. I'm supporting the Friends of the North Branch Park and Nature Preserve, and I'm departing from the remarks I prepared today because what I'm seeing in this room is a troubling false binary. We are here to speak for or against this proposal. All of the people who are speaking today are taking time away from their jobs and their employment, their families, their other responsibilities to be here to speak. What we have is a symptom of a broken system. The system is broken around urban planning. As someone who was part of the process to build the framework for the North Branch Industrial Corridor, I can tell you that communities were praying and hoping that this would be a truly collaborative process where we would sit down together and reimagine the future of this important, vast, nearly 800-acre plot of land. Now, look around this room today. We are all here because you're hearing this sense of urgency around jobs. We get that. This area needs to be redeveloped. We get that. But what we're not hearing is any sort of acknowledgement on the part of our officials making these judgments and approving these processes that these reasonable requests, these reasonable questions, these important questions are going to be answered. I further have to say that there's a difference between calling a process community engagement driven and the process actually being so. Chicago's urban planning legacy is a city riven by inequality, littered with failed promises of socioeconomic uplift. Chicago's not unique in this, but sadly, we've got the edge when we consider the repeated revelations of illegality and insider self-dealing alongside the failure to plan a more just, equitable, and verdant city in a garden for all Chicagoans. But around the world, evidence is mounting that better urban planning outcomes start with people. They start in communities, and they start long before any developer sits down with politicians. What's possible when this happens is a transformative shift from adversaries to true partners. It takes leadership, commitment, and will to make that kind of change happen. But Chicago is a city that's seen hope and change come alive before. So today, commissioners, on the eve of this municipal election, kindly consider this possibility. Today, you hold the possibility of real change in your hands. Today, you can say, you know what? There are a lot of reasonable questions about this proposal. It makes sense to go back to the people, tap into that collective wisdom to build a brighter and better city and to bring great jobs for people who deserve and want them. And let's get that North Branch Park and Nature Preserve. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, my name is Sean Harris. I represent Livewire Construction, as well as BECO, Black Contractors, Owners, and Executives. Black Contractors, Owners, and Executives, we are a firm that actually mentors young contractors that are coming up and looking to get small contractors and have them grow. And Sterling Bay has committed to working with our group of contractors in order to build their capacity. And as a owner of a electrical contracting firm and construction firm, I actually mentor and put to work young men and women right out of high school or reentering society. And it is very, very difficult to put these young men and women to work when there are no jobs. We have all heard today about the 10,000 construction jobs. This is real. The young man already spoke about him going to college. And I had notes prepared, but I've just been listening. And the one thing I haven't heard today was anybody say no. I heard him say wait. I heard him say slow down. But I didn't hear anyone say no, don't do it. So the plea is to Sterling Bay to listen to the public and give them what they want. But I think everybody needs to listen also that they've agreed to put up money first, right? So there is trust on both parts. Put together your redevelopment agreement. Make sure you get everything that you want from the community and what have you. But at the end of the day, everybody sounds like this is what they want. Let's make it happen. Sterling Bay, they've done a fantastic job reaching out to the community. They've invited us to be a part of the project. They've invited a lot of minorities to be a part of the project. And I got to tell you, that does not happen on a regular basis. Okay, we're usually the last ones brought to the table to get the scraps from these projects that have already been doled out to the large prime contractors. All right? And the last piece of this, private development firms pay a lot better than public projects. And when we have all these goals on these projects that we're trying to reach,
the black contractors, the minority contractors, Latino contractors, women contractors, we're the last ones paid. But yet and still we have these goals in place that we're trying to make sure that we're taking care of our people, but we're hurting them at the same time. So private development does work in this city. It needs to work in this facility. And once again, I didn't hear anybody say no.
The next individuals, Mr. Richard Wilson, Sherry Evans, Deborah Restorfer, Anita Bryant, Jessica Harris, Lionel Lugo, Sergio Martinez.
Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to spend a few minutes with you to offer my support for Sterling Bay's Lincoln Yards project and Sterling Bay in general. My name is Shirley Evans Wolford, President and CEO of Lambert Risk Management. I founded my insurance brokerage firm, Lambert Risk Management, almost 20 years ago after a 20-year career at a large global insurance brokerage firm. While Lambert cannot provide the same economic impact to Chicago as Sterling Bay can, I do have a staff of 30 professionals, employees that live in Chicago, and who all earn a professional wage and pay taxes to the city. As a WBE, MBE business owner, I too pay taxes to the city of Chicago. While Lincoln, without clients like Sterling Bay, this would not be possible. While Lincoln Yards will create 10,000 plus construction jobs and 24,000 plus permanent jobs in Chicago, the opportunities for me to provide insurance proposals, support to provide insurance support to Sterling Bay, their contractors and subcontractors could be enormous. Working on the Lincoln Yards project will allow me to expand my business by adding more insurance products and allow me to also grow my team of professionals further. Working with Sterling Bay will also allow me to expand the internship and training sessions that I have been providing to CHA residents that want to learn more about the insurance industry as a potential career path. I also know firsthand about Sterling Bay's diversity and inclusion goals. They are one of the few large developers in the city of Chicago that actively seek out qualified MBEs to partner with. They sought me out directly, and now I'm proud to be one of their professional partners. My staff and I fully support Sterling Bay's Lincoln Yards project, and I hope that you at the City of Chicago, City Hall.
Good afternoon. My name is Jessica Harris. I am Associate Director of Advancement at CARA Chicago, CARA being a nonprofit and a leader in workforce development. CARA's mission is to unlock the power and purpose within our communities and ourselves to achieve real and lasting success. Since 1991, we have helped more than 6,500 Chicagoans secure more than 10,000 jobs. 10,000 jobs made possible by partners like Sterling Bay, a partner who has been a part of this mission for more than a decade. And so today I stand with CARA in support of Sterling Bay and Lincoln Yard Project. And I have brought with me some people to share with you how it's just not about the numbers, it's also about the impact for families and for communities. And so I welcome Anita and Deb to the mic. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Anita Bryant, and I support the Lincoln Yards community. I currently signed up with the awesome program of CARA, and when I say it's awesome, I truly mean it. They really transformed me into the person that stands here before you now. They've taught me how to be productive in the inside and the outside workplace. And I mean from time management, professionalism, and even team building. Who doesn't want team building in the workforce? These are things that everyone needs on a daily basis to move forward toward their future. And I'm one of those people. So I say, trust the process, look with new eyes, because care truly has an impact on your life.
Hi, my name is Deborah Rostorfer. Thanks for trying to pronounce my name. When I got to CARE, I didn't have much hope about my prospects for the future. I was stuck in a pattern of jobs without opportunities for growth. At that point, my interview skills and resume seemed to be enough because they had been in the past. Then I stepped up into the classic CARE program known as Transformations. When I explain Transformations as a life-changing job readiness program, I say that it's a lot like boot camp without the push-ups. A group of strangers from all walks of life becomes a tight-knit community within the first 24 hours at CARA. Working together as a team, striving through various challenges, gave me an insight into my renewed value as a leader and employee. I got opportunities to hear from leaders of high caliber across industries about interview strategies that got them job after job. While I'm not perfect at interviewing, I'm far ahead of where I was. I prepare each job application and cover letter as if it were my last, as I learned to hope and believe that it would be. Besides singing passionately together every day, cheering each other on, and preparing for real and lasting success, we have been gifted by the generosity of those donating professional clothing. Each person who makes it through Transformations receives an interview outfit. Earning a new job is only the beginning at CARA. The first year of employment is supported with the community and the opportunity to be honored with a spot on the Great Wall, a true milestone of real and lasting success. The Lincoln Yards Development Project would bring many steady jobs to Chicago. A stable job has the ability to lift someone out of homelessness, despair, and poverty. Living wage jobs save lives. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Lionel Lugo. I work with Knight Engineers and Architects. We're a civil engineering firm who's been doing business with Sterling Bay. But aside from that, I am also a 20-year resident of the city of Chicago. So I'm going to talk more about my experience like living in the city. My kids, especially my little, I still call him my little one, even though he's 16 years old. Like, he's been riding a bicycle since he was two. Like, one of the things that I see on the Sterling Bay's plan is there's a lot of connectivity. So we're talking about extending the 606 down to Clybourne. Clybourne is one of the city roads that has, like, bike lanes dedicated for people to ride on. So from a personal standpoint, that's great for me because now we could actually get to the 606. Like, I've taken my little one out, and we've ridden all the way out to the Botanical Gardens. How do we do this? Just using the riverfront trails and all that stuff. So in all honesty, like, I'm always thinking about him and, like, how do we get to places. Riding a bike is one of the things that, like, we loved and, like, we just go through and do. Aside from that, you know, it is important the development and, like, the jobs. You're taking a little use formal industrial space, and it's being transformed into a riverfront community in the middle of the north side, which will offer growth and opportunity to the neighbor, to not only that area, but the neighboring communities as well. I'm pleased the developers have committed to, like, diversity and inclusion, and they're projecting approximately 23,000 permanent jobs, 10,000 construction jobs, or a 10-year period. Those are very important, not to only to me personally, but also to the community. And like I said, like, as an engineer, I've seen some of the plans, I've seen the connectivity. I mean, there's at least four bridges projected as part of the development, and the transit, the ability of traffic to flow through that area, it's going to be greatly enhanced. I don't see anything, I guess, negative about the improvement. There's tons of open space, great traffic. Again, like I started, it's more connectivity.
Thank you, Mr. Lugo.
Good afternoon. My name is Sergio Martinez, and I'm with Old Veteran Construction Company in Chicago. I'm here to support the Lincoln Yards project team and Silver Bay. OVC is one of the largest minority Hispanic-owned construction companies in the city of Chicago. Recognizing that there are questions and concerns that are being addressed with respect to either the TIF or with details of the development plan, I believe this development represents significant improvements to the community and to the people who reside within the community. As a member of the Sterling Bay team and OVC, as a large minority Hispanic-owned construction contractor with a proven track record of providing employment opportunities to the local community and to its residents, will continue to support the Lincoln Yards project in the same manner. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Richard Wilson. I'm an architect and city planner. I specialize in the design, planning, and construction of large-scale urban districts in the U.S. and cities around the world. Today, I'm addressing this commission on behalf of a civic coalition advocating for more parkland on the Chicago River. Our group includes the Chicago chapters of the American Institute of Architects, American Society of Landscape Architects, Friends of the Chicago River, Friends of the Parks, Open Lands, Preservation Chicago, Friends of the Bloomingdale Trail, the Audubon Society, and the Ornithological Societies of Chicago and Illinois. We're joined in advocacy by neighborhood, business, and sports groups on both sides of the river. We are pro-growth, and we support balanced redevelopment in this area by Sterling Bay and other developers. We are pro-city. We recognize the validity of the North Branch framework and appreciate the leadership of Mayor Emanuel, Commissioner Reifman, to transform this area into an economic engine and a vital job center for Chicago. But we also recognize the omission of publicly owned parkland in the framework, even though it was a central theme of testimony by 800 participants in 12 public meetings throughout the framework planning process. As a result, the land use policy in the TIF redevelopment plan before you today is grossly out of balance, and this is why. The framework enables density at 6.5 FAR in this area, which translates to 40 million square feet, the equivalent of 9 Willis Towers between North and Webster Avenues. Lincoln Yards alone is 15.4, though it was reported at the start of the meeting at 18 million square feet, is 3.5 to 4 Willis Towers, with daytime population projections that it could seed 40 to 50,000 people. At this density, a minimum of 30 acres of public parkland is required to assure livability between North and Webster and in adjacent neighborhoods. Figure 4 of your redevelopment plan, community facilities, clearly documents the lack of large-scale public parkland. At 13 acres, Oz Park is the largest park, yet is unable to meet current demand. However, here's the good news. It's not too late. General Iron is the last large-scale site available in the entire 760-acre North Branch corridor to meet this need. It's geographically located to fill the current 5-mile gap in the riverfront park system between downtown and Belmont Avenue. Parkland on this site could be connected to the Lincoln Yards open space with the pedestrian bridges and create a public park worthy of Chicago's heritage with the Chicago River at its center. But this land must be acquired or dedicated for public parkland use, or the opportunity will be lost forever. Therefore, commissioners, please amend the goals and objectives section of the TIF plan to acknowledge this need. Amend the land use
plan.
Thank you.
Will the following individuals please step up? Jaime DiPaolo, Jerry Lewis, Weeder Sinberry.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Jaime DiPaolo. I'm the president and CEO of the Illinois Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We are an organization that has been around for 30 years. The ICC is a community of business owners, entrepreneurs, and professionals committed to empowering individuals by helping them start and grow their businesses. As the largest community of Hispanic businesses across the state of Illinois, in the Midwest, we represent over 70,000 businesses that contribute over $15 billion into the state's economy and provide more than 100,000 jobs in Illinois. I firmly believe that this project is a great opportunity for well-prepared business owners. Although a great opportunity, it is my duty to make sure that this project is committed to its diverse spending and hiring goals. And also my job is to make sure when you guys approve this project, is to make sure I will keep Sterling Bay accountable and make sure every job goes to a minority-owned businesses. Thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Jerry Lewis. I am a 61-year-old resident of Chicago since birth and president of JLL Construction Services, Inc., a union signatory company who supports Sterling Bay's efforts here today. I currently mentor 15 successful minority business and growing with the support of a few aldermen and other private organizations. In the West Loop, with the strong support of aldermen in Sterling Bay and their construction partners, they have worked with us and supported a mentor-protege joint venture and a collaborative construction relationship with African-American general contractors and subcontractors from various parts of the city and on multiple projects. This opportunity will make a significant economic changes among the Black and Brown community. Over the past 3 years, and with the participation of the alderman, Sterling Bay, these efforts have contributed greatly to developing independent small minority business and individual job opportunities by successfully changing the mindset of young men and women. While meeting with new business owners on the possible opportunities is with Sterling Bay and how the Lincoln Yards project, if approved, is not just an incorrigible dream, but brings the closure to reality because of the commitment that Sterling Bay and the collaborative partners have made in the past to include the minority community. For a long time, I have asked the question of how much does it take to keep a kid off the corner and selling drugs and just hanging out. To me, the answer is not how much. The answer is, to me, who. As long as there are owners, ma'am, like Sterling Bay who want to develop property and create jobs, not just for the majority, but includes the minority community in their plans, and an alderman like Walter Burnett who continues to encourage developers like Sterling Bay to build so he can assist in the development of affordable housing and creation of jobs and minority businesses and new business owners, then that is an acceptable answer and solution to some of us and some of our problems. So when you make your decision here today, please consider these things that I have just mentioned to you. And if for any reason you vote yes, you have allowed me and others to help improve the life of those who want to make a difference. So to me, spending $900 million in a TIF in this development happened is a minor value compared to all families that can now begin to afford a living and send their kids to school similar to equal to people here today. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Vince Winters. I'm the recording secretary for Local 399 of the International Union of Operating Engineers, as well as a lifelong citizen of Chicago. Local 399 represents close to 10,000 building engineers throughout the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. And I would like to let the commission know that we are on 100% support of the Lincoln Yards project. Sterling Bay has not only been a wonderful partner for many, many years with Local 399, I know they're going to continue to be a great partner. As a citizen of the city of Chicago, Lincoln Yards is going to do, you know, you've heard all the jobs that it's going to create and the economic output it's going to have. So we are 100% in support of Lincoln Yards project. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Winter Susbury, and I'm Executive Director of Operations for Tactical Security Chicago. Tactical has had an 8-year relationship with Sterling Bay since 2011. We have worked on many projects with Sterling Bay, and we're very happy to support the Lincoln Yards project. A part of us working with Sterling Bay, Sterling Bay understands the importance of helping displaced and disadvantaged citizens. With Tactical's contracts with Sterling Bay, we've been able to hire on displaced and disadvantaged citizens and train them through our state-certified school, Tactical Security Protection Academy. We've had students come in, they go through unarmed security training, they go through life skills, they go through work ethics training, and countless other trainings, and they go to work. Now these citizens that were originally unable to hold down steady jobs or had poor work skills can work for a living wage. Some of them opt to stay in security and move up to security specialists and supervisors. Others opt to go further their training in other fields, and I've seen them become RNs, dialysis techs, office managers, construction site superintendents. It's endless, the possibilities. When you have someone and you give someone hope from that had no hope, and now they're able to show their family there's another way to do things, that they can excel in this city, it's the impact is just priceless. And because of that, and because of Sterling Bay's, you know, involvement in that, we are 100% for this project. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Barbara Burns. I grew up at Lathrop Homes, a Chicago Housing Authority development, not too far from here, and certainly not too far from Lincoln Yards. I would like to see a delay in the approval process related to the TIF until there's a more detailed plan, which, among other things, should include public housing. Lathrop is under a court order, or part of the Gautreaux order includes replacing 525 units lost at Lathrop because of redevelopment, and those units are supposed to go on the north side. Well, Lincoln Yards is less than a mile away from Lathrop. I believe those units should go there. And regarding the affordable units, and let's put that in quotes, regarding affordable, of the 1,200 units, there's talk that only 300 units would be on site. So you're talking about 5,000 to 6,000 residential units, and only 300 of them will be affordable on site. So I question why public money is going for a project that will require so little public housing, affordable housing, and where most Chicagoans will not be able to live. So I'm asking that this be delayed. Let a new administration take the time to look at this and let it truly be vetted by the surrounding communities. Thank you.
I am Alan Mellis, a Lincoln Park community leader for over 40 years. Bob should have given you a copy of my testimony. I'd like to see the Sterling Bay Lincoln Yards project be a success as long as it does not negatively impact our surrounding community. The total TIF funds being considered is $1.3 billion. That's a lot of money. I expect that the Cortland-Chicago River TIF redevelopment plan will pass this body today. However, I am imploring the progressive members of the CDC to either defer approval or amend the TIF redevelopment plan to ensure the funds used will benefit the community and not just Sterling Bay. The following actions are imperative. Traffic congestion mitigation. Dedicate planning funds for an independent, and may repeat, independent traffic study to be conducted to determine the best infrastructure projects to address current and future traffic congestion. Affordable housing. Demand that 100% of the required 1,200 affordable housing units be on site. We should not segregate the poor from the
rich. Ladies and gentlemen, please let him finish.
We should not be segregating the poor from the rich. Public open space. Acquire the 23-acre General Iron property for use as a park and nature preserve instead of using the $100 million for the extension of 606 that had previously been promised by Sterling Bay. Public schools. Explicitly dedicate funds for the expansion of Oscar Mayer School or a new on-site elementary school to serve all the residents of the 6,000 dwelling units, not just the assisted housing unit residents. Public transportation. Dedicate funds for the CTA to provide a new Clyburn bus and shuttle service to existing CTA Fullerton Armitage transit stations to allow residents of the underserved areas of Chicago to access Lincoln Yards construction and permanent jobs. Public access. All public infrastructure improvements must be available to the public for free and 24/7. This and other understandings should be documented in a separate community benefits agreement. In closing, note that after securing all their approvals, Tribune Media did not develop their North Branch River site, but rather put it up for sale. Therefore, this Cortland-Chicago River TIF approval should be limited to the well-respected Sterling Bay, and any future transfer should require a new public review and approval process. If you believe that any or all of these issues should be addressed, the Community Development Commission should either amend the development agreement today or defer consideration to the next CDC meeting so the development agreement can be updated. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. No questions? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the Commission. I'm Erin Inman, President and CEO of Primera Engineers, a Chicago-based, women-owned engineering and design firm. As a local firm of professional engineers specializing in buildings, transportation, and utilities, infrastructure is what we do, and we've been working on significant projects in Chicago for over 30 years. We've been involved in some amazing projects that have had a profound impact on the city over the years, including the O'Hare Master Plan, the 606, Big Marsh, Maggie Daly Park, and Kennedy King College. Lincoln Yards is one of those transformational projects. With the expansion of O'Hare, Chicago will become that much more attractive to global tech companies and further our position as a destination for entrepreneurs and startups. Lincoln Yards is exactly the kind of development that will help attract those companies and individuals to our great city. The connectivity to downtown and other neighborhoods via CTA trains, buses, metro, and bike trails is critical for attracting both businesses and residents alike. The 606 has been a tremendous success for the city and the local community. Its extension across the river will help break down the barrier of the expressway between the neighborhoods, not only giving residents access to Lincoln Yards, but giving Lincoln Yards residents direct access to all that Bucktown, Wicker Park, Logan Square, and Humboldt Park have to offer. And more than that, the 400 new feet of roadway, four new river crossings, new metro station, and improvements to over a mile of existing roadway, that's the type of infrastructure that will help connect Lincoln Yards to our city. As we have seen throughout Chicago, infrastructure improvements like the 606, the Riverwalk, or new transit options bring people to an area. When that happens, businesses benefit, people benefit, local residents benefit, and ultimately the city benefits. The Lincoln Yards development is special, a planned community where people can live, work, and play, a community that will attract talent to Chicago, that will create beautiful parks and open space with access to interact with the river. This type of investment will create jobs and economic growth. Projects of this size and scope are rare, especially within established neighborhoods. They require the talent of large developers and storied architects that have experience transforming our city. But what some may overlook is that they also create opportunities for firms like mine. Chicago's commitment to diverse suppliers on projects like this brings incredible opportunity for minority-owned firms, disadvantaged businesses, and women-owned firms like Primera. We are excited to support Sterling Bay and this unique and exciting project. It embodies everything that my firm focuses on: environmentally sustainable design and development, improving our communities through parks and cultural amenities, and improving our infrastructure. I appreciate your attention and ask for the Commission's support of Lincoln Yards.
Good afternoon. My name is Roberto Carmona. I represent GSG Consultants, a minority-owned construction civil engineering firm that's been around for almost 30 years. We basically commit ourselves to economic development, job creation, and helping other businesses and supporting our communities. After looking at the economic benefits and the community benefits, we support the initiative led by Sterling Bay, and we hope this will pass. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bill Griffith, and I'm here representing Lynn Mathis, Inc. We are a general contractor here in the city who does exclusively all of our business in the city. We're a third-generation owned family firm that's been in the West Loop now for in excess of 30 years. I'm here to represent Lynn Mathis in their support of Sterling Bay on several levels. First, in the TIF application at question here, I had the experience of being in Bucktown 40 years ago and starting my family as I got out of school here in Chicago. There was a time before Bucktown was even known as Bucktown. So I'm familiar with the infrastructure that's been discussed at length here, and it was in need of replacement, to the best of my recollection, 40 years ago, and it hasn't got much better since. So I'm excited for the city, not just the Lincoln Yards or immediate surrounding neighborhoods, for that infrastructure to have found a source of funding that's becoming rarer and rarer for municipalities and our government bodies in the trying economic times. That impacts all of us on the private sector in terms of job creation with developers such as Sterling Bay, but it's also, to me, a win-win for the city that there would be this kind of commitment and creativity and investment or willingness to invest at this scale. There's very few developers that we see in the city that would take this on, and for that reason, I'm very supportive of the TIF approval. With regard to the redevelopment agreement, I'm going to go back to the jobs argument that you've heard very often here this afternoon. We've been a job creator in Chicago, as I said, for generations, and we can only continue to do that at a scale that involves hundreds of our own employees consistently through years and thousands when you factor in our subcontractors and vendors. And contrary to the characterization of those 10,000 jobs here as being temporary, I would like to make the point that we don't stay in business, we don't seek to keep our long-term employees from a job basis. We want to see continuous employment in the construction industry and all the vendors and supply chain that supports it. And developers like Sterling Bay, who have committed not just to this project, but consistently to high-quality projects throughout the city, are important to us and many of our competitors and many of the other contractors and vendors in this city. We would like to support them. They do a fine job. They are highly talented. They have a commitment to excellence. They have a commitment, as been mentioned, to MBEWB involvement in their projects, as do we, to have been successful in our markets.
Thank you, Mr. Griffith.
Good afternoon. My name is Melinda Kelly. I'm president of Chatham Business Association, Small Business Development, Inc. Chatham Business Association was formed with a mission to promote political and economic stability in Chatham over 46 years ago. Mapping of the businesses we serve show that through our strong alliance and partnerships with business associations like the Austin African American Business Association, known as AAABA, U.S. Minority Contracts, BCU, ACCA, and others, our small business growth and development expertise has expanded our market citywide throughout the city of Chicago. That makes CBA a Chicago Business Association that happens to be located in Chicago, in Chatham, I'm sorry. Sterling Bay came and presented to our business membership, and it is here on behalf of that business membership that I'm here to provide support for the project. We learned that there will be accountability as Sterling Bay proposes to form an advisory committee. That advisory committee's goal will be able to help make sure that we create more successful businesses. We've got great black businesses. You heard from them earlier, Millhouse, Boa Constructions. There's more here, but we need a lot more. We want to make sure that the RFP process is innovative and that it encourages a high participation of black businesses. The statistics reflecting the wealth and employment gaps between Chicago's African American communities and their non-minority counterparts are well documented and startling. Those gaps contribute directly to many of the socioeconomic challenges confronting the communities we consider at risk, manifesting themselves in the form of crime, poverty, and urban blight. It is in this vein that we, as a business association, support the necessary tax incentive required for the Lincoln Park development. The development is consistent with our mission to create a trained, robust workforce development that mandates talent and can pay up to $75 per hour.
To piggyback on this, you'll hear more from my partner behind me.
Good afternoon. My name is Patalyn Beals. I am the interim executive director with Chatham Business Association. As Melinda said, our role on the advisory committee will be to ensure we build the capacity of new and existing black businesses with the ability to hire those people who merit a $75 an hour pay rate. Over the years, CBA has worked closely with major financial institutions, corporations, local businesses, and civil leaders to spearhead economic development in our most vulnerable neighborhoods and where the majority of our members have their business operations. African-American business members have a significant impact on our communities because they create and sustain employment opportunities for our communities, thus combating crime and poverty while encouraging literacy, education, and entrepreneurship on a local level. That is why it is imperative that we have a high level of participation from minority businesses. CBA supports the Lincoln Yard development and stands ready to work with fellow community stakeholders, city, county, and business leaders to ensure the successful participation and implementation of this development, as it has the potential to serve as a catalyst to cultivate and grow small black businesses. CBA will be submitting a formal written letter of support following this meeting to Shelley Burke to be included for the record. Thank you so much for your time.
My name is Armando Chacon. I am a lifelong Chicagoan, a longtime West Loop resident and business owner. I am the president of the West Central Association, which is the Chamber of Commerce of the West Loop. I am also the president of the Mary Bartlemy Park Advisory Council, Park in the West Loop. As someone that doesn't live in Lincoln Park or Bucktown, I am here as a character witness and to give you my experience with Sterling Bay. Given my position in our community that spans a couple decades, I have had a front row seat to see how Sterling Bay works. I have looked under the hood and have liked what I've seen. Sterling Bay has helped transform our community from an industrial area to the most dynamic and fastest growing in the city of Chicago. Sterling Bay is a company born in Chicago, but one that made their name in our community. They came to the West Loop with big ideas and took big chances. Because of their belief and courage, our community is thriving more than even I expected. My father worked on Fulton and Sangamon for over four decades, and the transformation has been nothing short of remarkable. The change hasn't come without contentious debate and conversation the way we are experiencing with Lincoln Yards, but I can say with confidence that they have done it in the right way. One very recent example of a project with contentious debate was the building that Sterling Bay built on Lake and Carpenter. The adjacent neighbors were heard, and Sterling Bay did their best to address their concerns. The project was ultimately approved despite some opposition. As it turns out, it's the very building that Google is moving their finance group to, which is a big win for our community and the city of Chicago. This is just one of several ways in which Sterling Bay has made an impact on our community and our city. In addition to bringing Google to Chicago, they can claim to help bring other small and big companies like Glassdoor, Skender, and our very own McDonald's back to the city of Chicago where it belongs. Sterling Bay has become one of the most prolific developers in the city, but they have also given back, and they give back. They have contributed their time, resources, and money to make an impact on our community. Just a few weeks ago, we ushered in a new library in the West Loop, compliments of Sterling Bay. Given their track record, not Sterling Bay's or my words here today, I want to say to my neighbors to the north that Sterling Bay will be a good partner. Like many Chicagoans, I've been following the developments of this mega project proposal. I attended a very well-attended Planning Commission hearing last month. I wanted to speak at that hearing, but had to leave to attend to my business before I could speak. However, I was able to stay for the whole presentation, which was impressive in scale and design. I was also left with envy upon hearing details of the park. I was surprised at Friends of the Park continued objections to the park and or project. I wanted to understand the reasons for their objections, so I called the president of Friends of the Park, Juanita Irizarry, a couple weeks ago, and I wish I could have been able to speak with her. In conclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chacon.
Good afternoon. My name is Eric Lindquist. I'm representing Adjustable Forms. We are a commercial concrete contractor. We've been fortunate and privileged to work with Sterling Bay on three projects, starting with the 1330 West Fulton job. That was a failed development that they redeveloped and produced a vertical expansion on. The next job was the C.H. Robinson headquarters on Webster. And finally, more recently, the 210 North Carpenter project. As a subcontractor, I can say with confidence that they are truly one of the best developers to work for. You know, we're unique in that we are the ones employing a lot of the blue-collar workers in the union trades on these projects, and it is a true driver of jobs for the community. They do things the right way. We've been very impressed with their community involvement. They've aligned our interests with finding groups that help contractors like ourselves meet people from the neighborhoods to get jobs to the people that need them near these developments. It's been very, very nice to have a partner with some of the GC clients in this community. One of the things that's really unique about Sterling Bay is that they are not tied to one individual construction company. They tend to divvy it out among multiple general contractors.
Nice.
I think that's an important note to make because that allows expansion of the different subcontractors like ourselves and our competitors and our peers, but also the vendors and downstream suppliers that support those subcontractors. So the reach of a development like this and a developer like Sterling Bay is very strong and broad. Finally, you know, I think it's very important to just note that we've seen a lot of developers come and go over the years, and you know, from our seat as a subcontractor, it seems like they're here to support the needs of the community, and they do a great job of being a long-term steward of the land. We don't see that all the time, so it's refreshing to see their commitment to quality products, as we've talked about. Finally, one of the things I want to mention, we've talked about the jobs that this project will create, and it will, but I think more importantly to gather from this is the timing of this project. You know, we're going to see inevitably the end of this robust economic development cycle we've been seeing in real estate and construction. You know, we're starting to see that wane down a bit. You know, contractors like ourselves are starting to get a little nervous about the jobs and the creation of jobs in the next year and a half, 2 years. You know, seeing a job like this coming on at this time frame, I think, is a very positive thing. The jobs are absolutely there, but more importantly, I think it's going to stabilize what's going to be a difficult time for a lot of construction companies like us in the next couple of years. So we are firmly in support of this and appreciate everything that they presented. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Dan McLaughlin. I'm the Executive Director of the Chicagoland AGC, which is the Associated General Contractors. Chicagoland AGC serves as a leading voice for our city's construction industry. Our members include the leading contractors and suppliers in the Chicago area, ranging from large national firms to smaller specialized companies who build private and public projects worth more than $11 billion a year. We are supportive of the proposed Cortland-Chicago River TIF because its ability to create thousands of construction jobs and new opportunities for our city's contractors and trades workers. As the executive director of the CAGC, I am working with many developers, Sterling Bay included, contractors, labor, and community groups to create a comprehensive program to encourage, assist, and mentor minorities into the construction industry. In addition, we are working together on the equally important issue of developing more minority businesses. A project like the Cortland River Lincoln Yards project is needed to provide the opportunities for us to be successful in this endeavor. I am concerned that without this project, the opportunity to vastly improve the number of minorities in careers, not just short-term jobs, will be lost. Even a delay can be costly when the economic correction we all know is coming will have a major impact on new projects getting funded and started. And finally, the public improvements created with this project are critical improvements to this area's infrastructure as well as the quality of life issues that benefit local residents. 4 new river crossings, more than a mile of new river walk, more than a mile of improved roadway in addition to a new roadway, and the realignment of the Armitage-Ashland-Elston intersection will be a huge improvement to traffic flow. Looking ahead to the completion of this project, it is clear that the thousands of permanent jobs and the hundreds of millions of dollars in tax revenue created make this project a long-term benefit for the city, the community, and the residents. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today, and once again, we are strongly in favor of this Lincoln Yards project.
Good afternoon. My name is Marissa Kerman. I am here representing Landmark Pest Management. We are a certified woman-owned small business, and we help our clients live and work in greener, safer buildings. Landmark specializes in construction site rodent abatement. So once the ground is disturbed on a construction site, things living beneath it rise to the surface, and we are there to make sure those pests don't relocate into neighboring areas. The services that we furnish are at the intersection of pest control and construction, which are two industries that historically are underrepresented by women. Sterling Bay understands it's incredibly important for small, diverse businesses to continue growing. This initiative will give Landmark the resources and opportunities to make our public infrastructure greener and safer while growing by employing more Chicago residents. We are thrilled to declare our appreciation for Sterling Bay, this project, and the opportunities it will provide to Landmark Pest Management, the City of Chicago, and its residents. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Rachel Ivey, and I am the Executive Director for Communities Empowered Through Construction, and I support the Lincoln Yards Project. As a WBE, MBE, and DBE firm that works in the workforce development space and community engagement, I am excited about the economic opportunities that the Lincoln Yards Project will bring to the City of Chicago. I grew up in Chicago, and I currently live in a disadvantaged community. And in my organization, we touch the lives of so many individuals daily. And what we see the most is the lack of real employment opportunities. This project brings thousands of construction opportunities, and not to mention the long-term opportunities that exist afterwards. It is the perfect platform to unite communities all over the city. Ignite and fuel job readiness programs, trade training programs, and provide access for minority subcontractors. Additionally, based on my experience with Sterling Bay, they have and are approaching this project with a spirit of inclusion and collaboration. There are many issues that plague minority subcontractors and disparities in the local construction workforce, but a project like Lincoln Yards puts Sterling Bay in a position to spearhead change in the industry and address many of these disparities. With that said, I support the Lincoln Yards Project.
Good afternoon. My name is Karen Butler. I'm a longtime resident of the 43rd Ward. People have spoken today and in other meetings against creation of a TIF. Some have argued against this TIF specifically, pointing out that its supporters pretend that this area would not be redeveloped without funds from a TIF. Objections have been made elsewhere also, generally outlining the harm that TIFs do when tax revenues from one section of the city are sequestered within that section and not made available for the needs of the city as a whole. If, however, notwithstanding these arguments, this commission approves the creation of a TIF, then it's imperative that the TIF include provision for completing the network of riverfront parks. Specifically, this means that the TIF redevelopment area plan must be modified either today or later, if it can't be done today, to provide for a publicly owned riverfront park between North Avenue and Cortlandt Street. I'm in favor of responsible development. I've seen representatives of the building trades, of architectural and design firms, and various consultants here and at other meetings. I know the importance of jobs to these people, to the people they represent, and to the city as a whole, and to myself as a taxpayer. I've also seen developers at these meetings, and I understand their goals too. But as our elected officials have repeatedly said, to overwhelming public support, we must bring more green space, high quality, into the city. The proposed North Branch and Park Preserve would meet that goal. It's not just a matter for Lincoln Park and Bucktown, it's something that's crucial for the entire city. The proposed North Branch Park and Preserve will help complete the chain of networks along the river, filling the gap between Ping Tom Park in the south and Clark Park to the north. Completing this link in the network of parks will make access to an active waterfront much, much easier for working parents on the west side and their children. On busy days during the summer, it can now take more than an hour to get from Damon Avenue to the lakefront. A park, as proposed, would cut travel time to an active waterfront in half. This park would help integrate the river back into city life, bringing the natural environment into the built environment. Most assuredly, this park would be a jewel for the whole city, just as the lakefront is, with all that implies for livability, for tourism, and for the jobs that both of those attract. Before you approve this TIF, you must first modify the goals and objectives section of the TIF redevelopment area plan to expressly require acquisition of the site for the North Branch Parks and Preserve to complete the chain of riverfront parks. Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is David Doig. I'm the president of Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the Lincoln Yards Project, and want to talk about a few things. The first is there's been a lot of talk about TIF today, and I can tell you, as someone who has developed a number of TIF projects, that TIF is probably the most important tool that the city has in redeveloping its neighborhoods. We've had unbelievable success. I stood before this commission almost 10 years ago asking for your support on a TIF that we created on the far south side in the Pullman neighborhood. I'm happy to report 10 years later that with Mayor Emanuel's support and Commissioner Reifman's support, we've created over 1,800 new jobs, coordinated over $300 million of investment. Just last week, MPC published a study that showed that crime is down by 52%. We've seen poverty rates in Pullman go down 6%. We've seen unemployment go down. All of this is a result of creating jobs and opportunity for communities that need it. So there is no greater tool that the city has than TIFs. And I know this is seemingly a large TIF at 60-plus acres. The site we're developing is 200 acres. And I can only wish that we had this many people supporting our TIF when we did it 10 years ago. But we're very excited about this development, the jobs, the opportunity, the hope that it brings to the community. The second thing I want to talk about is the Industrial Corridor Fund. So one of the things that has gotten, I think, glossed over a little bit is the fact that this fund, that this development will create nearly $30 million of infrastructure funds that can actually be used to support industrial development in areas of the city like the far south side, like the west side, that need development, that want development, and need that public infrastructure to be able to support it. So a key point that this development is providing those resources that will help other areas of the city. The third area is affordable housing, and there's been a lot of discussion about the need for affordable housing on site and in areas around that, which I agree with, but there also is need for affordable housing throughout the city. And this particular development will create $40 million of affordable housing dollars that can be used to develop areas of the city that, quite frankly, are losing population. And I know we focus a lot on the issues around density, and but we have to remember that there are vast areas of our city that are losing population that need new housing developed. The final area I'll talk about, and I'll put on my hat as the former commissioner and former CEO of the Chicago Park District, is the need for open space. And I can tell you, when I was at the Park District, we spent $6 million to buy a little piece of property at Erie in the Chicago River. It was less than an acre. That was 15 years ago. I can't imagine what the cost of public parkland would cost today, but you have a once.
Thank you, Mr. Doig.
Good afternoon. I'm Michael Charles Hilson with GBG Incorporated. Good afternoon. I'm currently the vice president of a family-owned and minority-certified insurance agency called GBG Incorporated. We specialize in providing bonding and insurance for contractors and insurance for professional services in order to help them to comply with requirements for their construction projects. We're also a wrap-up consultant and administrator, an example OSIP or CSIP, for large construction projects that are valued at $25 million and higher in construction values. The Lincoln Yards will reconstruct a nearly 55-acre former industrial site into an electrifying riverfront community. This project will benefit Chicagoans through its phenomenal 20-plus acres of open space, provide a plethora of job opportunities, and tremendous investments in much-needed infrastructure improvements. Sterling Bay is committed to providing opportunities to an estimated 10,000 construction jobs and 24,000 permanent jobs. Once complete, Lincoln Yards will create $4.5 billion annual economic output and new revenue for the city of Chicago. An example, $29 million for the Industrial Corridor Fund and $64 million for the North Branch Corridor bonus payment. Sterling Bay has also formed an inclusion committee to guarantee the participation of minority firms to help them to grow their capacity and have a positive impact on this project. I support TIFs being utilized to help improve the public infrastructure for a project of this scale. Approving the TIF funds will assist Sterling Bay with providing jobs, having a positive economic impact, and benefiting the community of the city of Chicago. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon. My name is Katie White. I'm a project manager with Bourbon Tile and Marble Incorporated. We are a proud WBE union tile and stone contractor working in the Chicagoland area for the last 28 years. Some of our previous projects include the installation of numerous public art tile murals throughout the city, as well as projects at Soldier Field, United Center, and Navy Pier. Most of our work occurs within the confines of Chicago, and almost all of our employees were born and raised here. As lifelong Chicagoland residents, we are proud of our beautiful city, the diversity of our many neighborhoods, as well as the willingness of our city leaders to continuously explore new concepts and ideas that will benefit the city as a whole. It is this forward thinking in terms of restructuring and revitalizing once stagnant areas that sets Chicago apart and elevates us to a world-class city. This Lincoln Yards development will not only create thousands of new employment opportunities and provide very significant revenue for the city, but it also offers substantial community benefits, such as the Riverwalk and generating a host of new and improved avenues of infrastructure and transportation for the city so that all Chicagoans will benefit from this revitalization. In addition, it is expected that local businesses and workers will be the beneficiaries of these opportunities whenever possible, giving more appeal to the project and its neighbors. For those reasons, we are in support of the Sterling Bay and Lincoln Yards development. We believe this project is a sensible solution for transforming neglected property into a vibrant riverfront community and an appealing community with desirable places to work, live, and play. So on behalf of the 130-plus employees working for Bourbon Tile and Marble, our company supports this opportunity for the transformation of the vacant land located on the proposed future site of the invigorating Lincoln Yards venture. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for the next 3 minutes of your time. My name is Shona Odie. I work for DLR Group, which is an architecture and engineering firm. I'm here in support of Lincoln Yards because of past experience with Sterling Bay and how they've exhibited the thought leadership necessary to make something like this successful. In my role at DLR Group, I'm a mechanical engineer, but I also lead our building performance practice. That means that it's my job to make sure every project we touch sets and achieves sustainability goals associated with resource conservation, human health, and securing our ecological future. To be frank, sometimes trying to push this on developer-driven projects can be really, really challenging, but not on Sterling Bay projects. On a recent project at 311 West Monroe, they adopted a Cadillac HVAC system that wasn't the cheapest option. They picked it because of the energy-efficient opportunities there, in addition to providing spaces where people can thrive. Another example is 1K Fulton, where they have launched one of the first well-building certified projects in Chicago. These are examples of how their buildings are really driving change and leading the charge for high-performing buildings. In addition to this, I'm a resident of Bucktown. I'm one of the people who bikes the 606 and then gets onto the highway and then goes over to Clybourne after that. So this is going to impact my daily life also. I'm excited that this type of development is in the hands of Sterling Bay. I think it will benefit everyone in the Chicagoland area, and I'm excited to see what's next. So thank you for your time.
The following individuals: Robert Gomez, Randy Jacobson, Annie Morse, Jeffrey Price, Jonathan Snyder, and Tim Tutton. If I called your name, you can begin. You don't need to be in order.
Hi. My name is Randy Jacobson. I'm a resident of Lincoln Park. I'm an architect. I used to teach urban design and architecture at UIC. The megatiffs that are being proposed here, Lincoln Yards, the River District, 78, Riverline, the former Michael Reese Hospital site, are bad deals that Chicago can't afford. We're just picking up too much of the bill here, and the developers have to pick up more of the bill. We welcome revving up growth. We welcome redevelopment along the Chicago River that will expand the loop. We welcome development when we know that growth expands the tax base, because an expanding tax base is how the best way to pay our unfunded pension liabilities instead of raising taxes. But if you lock up all the most valuable property in the city, all the trophy properties, into TIFs, we're not really expanding the tax base, because it's going to cost the city billions of dollars to service these new communities. So we're just digging a deeper hole here, even though it looks like we're building a lot of shiny new things. We need these tax increments to help pay our bills on day one, not on day 8,401. Before approving these giant projects piece by piece, Chicago needs a broad community plan that connects the redevelopment of our truly blighted neighborhoods in the West and the South to the trophy properties that are generating the new jobs like Lincoln Yards and the River District. And we can do this with carefully planned east-west transit, which is where the transit infrastructure dollars need to go. We don't need to be spending infrastructure money on bridges that connect North Lincoln Yards to South Lincoln Yards. If we do this, it won't cause displacement because it will increase the radius of the 30-minute commute from these new job centers, so we won't be overwhelming these neighborhoods all at one time. So I'd like to focus here on the actual improvements that are in this TIF. Let's start with Dominick Street. Dominick Street is literally the driveway for this development. Okay? It goes from Lincoln Park North to Lincoln Park South, and it has a bridge in the middle of it that connects the two halves of the development. Sterling Bay owns the property on both sides of the street. The only appropriate thing here is for Sterling Bay to build Dominick Street, build the bridge, and then dedicate it to the city, okay? Because the developers...
Thank you very much.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Tim Tutton. I own a hideout at 1354 West Wabansia. For over 22 years, my wife, Katie, and I, and Mike and Jim Hinchlip, my friend since childhood, have owned a bar that's been in business for over 100 years. I believe we are the only business here today that is actually within this TIF. We love what we do. We are a small club for musicians just getting started and for veteran musicians and artists who want to hone their craft and experiment with new ideas and projects. We have what Mavis Staples called on her Grammy-nominated live album, Hope at the Hideout. We provide a creative space for comedians, artists, and others to test out material. Activists use our space for their meetings and gatherings and fundraisers. We're open for weddings, funerals, for family reunions, and bar mitzvahs. We have an outdoor street festival. We raise money and awareness for community organizations. We have built a strong local community as well as an international reputation. Suddenly, we are finding ourselves surrounded on every side by land being acquired by the massive Sterling Bay Corporation. In fact, they just went ahead and named our neighborhood Lincoln Yards. When the city sold the fleet management facility across the street from us, we had no details as to what was being planned. It wasn't easy to get information because the planning process isn't very open. Because of what we do, and maybe because of the hideout asking lots of questions, Alderman Hopkins publicly said that he would designate the hideout as a historic landmark. As with this entire project, he never asked us. Although landmarking the hideout may have seemed helpful, we do not believe that it is. We want to be part of any discussion about the hideout's future. To be clear and on the public record, the hideout is not currently seeking landmark status. We are more concerned about the future than about the past. Now someone is circulating a petition to try to designate the hideout under historic landmark status. This petition is being circulated by someone who has no connection and is not authorized by the hideout. The hideout formally requests that the city, Alderman Hopkins, and anyone else connected with this process, please disregard this petition. The hideout requests any information regarding the people and or entities submitting it. The party circulating the petition, intentionally or not, is harming the hideout. Okay, the hideout is just one of dozens of creative, independent, unique spaces across the city that will be hurt by this Lincoln Yards project. We talked to other music venues and realized that we were all very concerned. This massive project would not just affect the little hideout, but will affect and hurt clubs across the city of Chicago. We formed the Chicago Independent Venue League, or CIVIL. We thought we'd have a stronger voice by coming together. But even with 14 independent venues, including the Empty Bottle, Metro, Promontory, Martyrs, Beat Kitchen, Subterranean, Chubas, Lincoln Hall, Sleeping Village, The Whistler, and others, our voice and concerns still have not reached the right ears.
Thank you, Mr. Dunn.
My name is Jeffrey Price. I'm a lifelong resident of Chicago
and I've lived for 47 years immediately to the east of the Lincoln Air development in Ranch Triangle, the area most affected by this gigantic development that will be large enough to be the 51st ward. I serve as a member of the Ranch Triangle Community Conservation Association Board of Directors. Chicago has a lot in common with Washington, D.C. Both were built on swamps, and both need to be drained. TIF districts were created in Springfield and corrupted in Chicago. Only in Chicago can a single building in a gentrifying neighborhood become a TIF, Grossinger Auto Mall. TIFs have been planned and placed in areas that are far from blighted, while the true need lies elsewhere on the south and west sides. Who are the investors that will make huge profits on this TIF? Burke, Emanuel, Madigan, Pritzker, Rauner, Crown, Ricketts, Griffin? We need to know who is benefiting from our tax dollars and their conflicts of interest. The TIF in question, Cortland-Chicago River, went from $800 million to $900 million and now stands at $1.3 billion. We all know that nothing we say here can stop this train. The result of this meeting are preordained, another rubber stamp on the train ticket. However, I want to know, why should Sterling Bay be paid TIF money to manage the TIF? Why should remediation funds be in the TIF? Sterling bought the land, it's their problem, not ours. Why should the TIF pay for advertising and marketing for Sterling Bay? That is their expense, not ours. Why daycare costs in the TIF? Let them pay. Sterling Bay's books with the respect to any TIF work should be open to an independent audit. In addition, new uses of or diversions of funds between budgeted categories within a TIF should not be permitted. Financial records from all TIFs should be open to the public. It is their money being diverted. This TIF and all TIFs should terminate when funds are paid back, not 23 years later. Excess TIF funds should be returned to the general fund and not moved around by the mayor. It is said that one-third of Chicago is covered with TIFs. Money intended for the general fund is diverted to TIFs, and we, the taxpayers, have to make up the difference. What will happen when all of Chicago is covered with TIFs? I oppose this TIF and the misuse of TIFs. New legislation must be passed in Springfield to end this corruption of what was once a good idea. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. The court reporter needs to change the paper in his machine. So a 5-minute break, and we'll come right back.